Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Rachel Dimas, who is a volunteer at Hope House here in Corpus Christi. How are you, Rachel?
I'm great. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you so much for being with us. I'm excited to have this interview. I've heard so much about Hope House, and now I get to learn more about it. Before we get started with what Hope House is, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am a parishioner at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church. I have been married for 17 and a half years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have two boys, a 6-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Thank you for sharing. Now, you are a volunteer at Hope House. What got you, and just before we get into it, Hope House serves homeless women and children.
That is correct.
But what got you into that type of ministry?
My story is kind of unique. I started with the pro-life movement. I went to Austin about a year and a half ago, and by being there, it opened my eyes that, you know, how everybody thinks of pro-life only of the unborn, and really it's more than that. You know, pro-life is the unborn, but also the homeless, the sick, the single people, the married, you know, everybody. And I do, well, my children and I, we do the local monthly pro-life walk here. And I came across one lady that came up to me and said, can you come and talk to this one mom at Hope House? And I'm like, well, what is Hope House? And so that was the start of going to Hope House.
In a nutshell, can you share with us what Hope House does, the vision of Hope House, who they serve?
Hope House serves the community. There's different, I guess you want to call them umbrellas of Hope House. It serves the community with women that are pregnant, either for the first time or, you know, moms that are pregnant and they have, you know, older children but got pregnant, and either the spouse is upset that they have another child and he wants them out of the house. Or the girl could be real young, still in high school, and the parents, you know, are upset and they kick her out. So basically, it's an emergency shelter for moms so they are not homeless. And they come into the shelter, you know, to kind of have a little bit of time to relax, find out what they want to do for their future, you know, and still keep on with their daily lives and not just, okay, what am I going to do? And that's it. It's, you know, they're going to school. We try to keep them in school. If they're going to college, we have had some moms there pregnant for the first time in college working on their master's degree.
Wow.
So it's not only say, okay, they're just young. You know, it just varies on everybody. But basically they come in. We do have a social worker on staff, and she will go ahead and talk to the mom, find out her history, and try to get her to keep on going with her education. Or if they don't have work, try to get them a job.
Well, it seems as though you all provide a lot of support for women, whether pregnant or non-pregnant.
That is correct.
They do need to have children to receive the services. Is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And you did talk about women of all ages.
All ages.
What are some of your younger ones, and what's the range of the ages of women that live there?
Since I have been volunteering, and it's been a little bit over a year, I have seen as young as a junior in high school. Up to the age of one mom that just had her baby a couple of months ago, that was about 44 years old. So the range is big.
It's pretty big.
Yes.
Well, children are a blessing, and I'm glad that you mentioned that pro-life ministry is not just about the unborn, even though that's a big focus, but it's about working with the elderly. It's about respecting the dignity of people and all of their, with all of their abilities, disabilities. Speaking of disabilities, those that are disabled, just making sure that they have the respect that they deserve as creatures of God and creations of God.
Correct.
So I'm glad that you make that distinction so that the umbrella can, and our views on pro-life could get bigger.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead and share with me from beginning to end the process of a woman that is seeking assistance in Hope House. They will go in. You spoke about having a social worker on staff.
Correct. They will come in. Before that, we do have referrals that from the Gabriel Projects from other parishes. They'll do the referral. They'll come in, speak to the social worker, find out what their needs are. And if we sometimes if we have the availability for it, because sometimes we are full and we can house up to 12 moms at one time. We do have two different shelters. One of them is three apartments and they're fully furnished apartments for moms that already have children. And then we have one community house, which we can put 6 to 9 moms in there. So it varies, you know, which house would she go to? What are her needs? Where is she at? So it just varies. And then after that, we try to get a mentor for her, somebody that would come in, talk to her. And that's how I ended up volunteering there. I was called in if I can come and speak to one mom. And because she was lonely, didn't have family here, and, you know, she didn't know what to do. And so I came in, started speaking to her, and as I then I got a tour of the facility, I came home and I was crying because I saw how blessed I was, everything that I had at my house with my husband and my children, and this one mom didn't. And she had a 3-year-old and was pregnant with no family here locally, no support, no friends. And it just broke my heart. And as I saw the facility, I said, I can do more. I want to do more. And so my children are always with me. And they're there like, Mom, you know, we can paint. We can fix it up. We can do this. We can do that. I said, you know what? Yes, we can. We can do that. So we started coming in. I asked for permission. We came in. We started painting, you know, putting up light fixtures and different little things to make it homey for the girls. Because they come in, they're very emotional. They're stressed. I don't have money. I don't have a toothbrush. I mean,
even the basic necessities.
The very basic necessities. They get into the disagreement with the parents or the husband, and they're out. They have nothing. Sometimes when they come in, they have absolutely nothing.
So some of these women are married women.
Yes. Some of them are married. They're in abusive relationships, or the husband just got upset and said, I don't want another child. You have an abortion, or, you know, you can't stay here.
Wow.
And so they come in stressed. You know, what am I going to do? I have no support, but I want to keep my baby.
Do you all offer counseling services for those that have marital strife and need to reconnect?
The social worker will provide all the referrals that are needed, you know, for so they can go get counseling. You know, do they need assistance with food? The different, you know, backgrounds on every person. But yeah, they are provided. We might not do it there at the shelter, but we do refer them to go somewhere else. On certain days, they do have people that come in and speak to the girls, kind of like life coach, how to deal with your emotions and how to take care of your money, you know, your budgeting, you know, infant CPR. So other services are provided there at the shelter, but we do refer out if we need to.
So I understand the idea of Hope House is to provide a safe home for women with children.
Correct.
Pregnant or not currently pregnant. But it's also to help them develop as human beings.
Yes.
To see what their goals are, to see how we can encourage them to continue their education.
Yes.
Or maybe even seek employment.
Yes.
Okay. How does it work with childcare if they are going to school or seeking employment?
They do have a contract, or they do try to have this one specific daycare that will provide daycare for the moms. And if there's no transportation, the daycare will come and pick them up, the children, and take them to the daycare facility and be there while the mom is looking for either employment, taking care of their appointments, going to school. So we do have a daycare that will work with us.
Rachel, when we come back, I want you to share some stories of some of the women you've encountered at Hope House. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Father Ray Irlas, pastor of Sacred Heart Parish in Rockport, invites you to join him and others as they follow the footsteps of St. Paul. This 11-day pilgrimage to Greece and Rome will depart Corpus Christi on July 2, 2014. You'll visit Athens, including the Parthenon, Mars Hill, the House of Parliament, Olympic Stadium, Ephesus, the City of the Bible, tour the Basilica of St. John, the Isle of Patmos, and then on to Rome with its Colosseum, the Vatican, the Sistine Chapel, and so much more. For complete information or to reserve your place on this pilgrimage, call Father Ray at 361-729-9203.
Thanks for staying with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Rachel Dimas, who is a volunteer at Hope House. Rachel, before the break, we spoke about Hope House being a place that serves pregnant and not pregnant women, gives them shelter. We also briefly spoke about the different scenarios that a woman might encounter, such as marital strife or, let's say, being kicked out of the home. And a lot of them might not have relatives that they can rely on, and so they need shelter, and they find that here in Hope House.
Yes, that is correct.
You spoke about some of the wonderful things that are going on there, and now I'm really interested in hearing the stories that you have about some women that you've encountered that have really touched your heart. Can you share with us?
I sure can. My first mom that I mentor is the one that really pierced my heart to stay in this ministry because of her children. Talking to her, you know, and I felt like, who am I to be helping this mom? I'm like nobody. But talking to her, I felt like, you know, we're bringing Jesus to her. And as she, you know, continued her journey there at Hope House, she was there for quite a long time. And she finally got the blessing of God, her apartment. And as she called me to tell me the great news, she tells me, well, now I don't have anything. I came with nothing and I'm leaving with nothing. I said, don't worry. I said, I will, you know, ask friends and don't worry. I said, leave it to God. He will provide. Little did I know that he was going to provide, you know, an overabundance of graces to her. As I put the word out and my friends started contacting their friends, she moved out on a Friday. By Saturday, she had sofa. I mean, everything that you have in your house, she had at her house. A baby crib, because she had two children, a newborn and then the three-year-old. And her whole house was fully, or her apartment was fully furnished. I mean, completely. And she's like, she just sat there and couldn't believe it. And I started doing, a friend of mine gave me this idea, and I started doing this called a pounding party. And it's kind of like a housewarming party and kind of like a baby shower, I guess you want to call it. It kind of combined.
And well, that sounds like fun.
And I tell people, it's not, you don't have to go buy anything new. It's whatever you have at home. Besides household items that she needed, she's leaving the shelter, so she doesn't have food. She doesn't have toiletries enough to get her by. So I told everybody, I said, if you have three cans of corn, can I have one for her? If you have four rolls of toilet paper, can I have one? And people look at me like, you know, she's being serious or silly. And I said, I am serious, because for somebody that doesn't have anything, that one item is going to go a long way. Well, the day that we had the pounding party, people heard, you know, we passed the address. People came, knocked on the door, and was giving us bags of food, cleaning supplies, toiletries. It was amazing. And I had friends there where they're helping me, you know, sort out everything, because she was just overwhelmed. And she just started crying because she could not believe. And she says, where did you find these people? You know, how can you do this? They don't know me. And I said, but you're a sister in Christ. we do that. We help each other. And she says, I've heard of people like that, but I've never believed it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And so, and we had an ongoing joke because she would open her cabinets and her pantry. And she's like, look, it's like a little store. She says, I have everything. She had food for at least 4 months to get her going.
That's wonderful.
So it's been amazing to do that. And then I try to follow up after they leave, go by their apartments, check on them. And as I came to her apartment one time, I was in the area, and I said, well, I'm going to stop and see how she's doing and the children. And I knock on her door, and I come in, and I could feel the presence of our Lord there and saying, thank you. Thank you for helping my daughter. And her little boy runs up to me, 3 years old, and he hugs me and he tells me, I'm going to school and I'm learning. How can I stop after that?
And may I thank you for sharing. And may I say, some of these things people that are not at a disadvantage take for granted.
Yes.
And so I can imagine it was eye-opening. And like you mentioned, you would ask for one roll of toilet paper and people are wondering, how is this going to help anyone possibly? But it really does.
It does. It really does. That one item helps. You know, and somebody will say, well, I have a crib but no mattress. And somebody says, well, I have a mattress but no crib. I'm like, guess what? You know, we'll put them together. And that one item does help a lot. And people don't see that.
I also like how you mentioned that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're called to serve one another.
Yes.
In this fashion. And I can imagine how special this ministry is to you. Let me ask you, Rachel, what do you see in the little kids that you serve? Or what do you see? Joy? Do you see despair in their eyes? Do you see hope? Are they too young to understand maybe the situations that their moms are in?
No, some of them are old enough that, you know, they're 6, 7 years old, they're there, they understand, and they'll come up to me and they're like, you know, the older ones will say, well, this is what's happening to me. And they're like, I'm glad I'm here, because if I wasn't here, then I would be sleeping in a car. And I said, well, you know what? I'm so glad God brought you here. Some of them are young, they don't understand, but they can feel the love there. You know, we try to do crafts with them. We try to have a monthly dinner or lunch with them, try to celebrate, because the child does not know what is happening with the mom. So we try to continue life just like it would be anywhere else. And so they can feel, you know, the love, the presence of our Lord, and say, okay, you know, I you know, I like this. You know, this is, you know, this is good. This is, you know, happening for me.
Rachel, so it seems as though it's a nice family environment that you try to provide for the women there. And the children can definitely reap those benefits. And you mentioned that they feel encouraged,
yes.
I would say.
We try, or I try to make it a very much family oriented. You know, if you'll see me, you'll see my children. And it's also kind of like a life skills for the moms. Okay, yes, I'm pregnant, or yes, you know, this is going on. But yet, you know, the gatherings, we try to make it all family oriented, because when they, the future, you know, we're hoping that when they move on, they will learn some things, some skills there, and they can use it. You know, we get together, we're doing puzzles, you know, we're just talking, we're whatever it might be, you know, we're trying to make it all family oriented. And the other thing is that some of the moms might have not had this growing up, and they kind of need help themselves, because they kind of struggle with not knowing a family foundation. They might have not had that. And so that's what we're trying to do, that, you know, and other friends will come with their children. So sometimes we have, you know, 12 children there, and only two of them are from the shelter, but they get to play with other children, you know, kind of see like, okay, this is, you know, this is normal, you know, kind of say, okay, you know, let's all sit down together. And, you know, so.
So as a volunteer, then you model what, you're a role model for what these women should and can be experiencing, the interaction between you and your sons, they're witnessing, and as you mentioned at the gatherings, there's a variety of kids, and it's not just the kids at the shelter.
Correct.
So they're able to experience the family atmosphere.
Yes.
Wonderful. May I ask, first of all, this all seems very interesting and encouraging to say the least. But if I wanted to volunteer or if people wanted to contribute to the mission of Hope House, what can they do?
They can call Hope House at 852-2273 and just call us. We can talk to you, see what kind of, you know, volunteering do you want to do? Do you want to come in and help us sort out donations or be a mentor to one of the, you know, one of the moms? Just by calling us, and then we can start talking on a one-to-one base.
And I also understand that you have an awareness banquet every year, the Celebration for Life. What is the goal of the Celebration for Life?
First is to bring awareness to the community. And that celebration is not only for Hope House, but it's also for all the pro-life organizations in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. So that is first to bring awareness and then also, of course, to try to raise funds so we can continue doing the projects that we're working on.
Rachel, it was great to have you. I ask that God continue to bless your ministry as a volunteer at Hope House. Stay with us for Sacred Moments with Deacon Stephen Nolte.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Young children have an amazing ability to sometimes see life more clearly than adults. This ability arises from innocence and is expressed honestly from the heart. Sometimes we are privileged to witness it in everyday events. Such was the case a few years ago when a grandbaby was crawl-scooting across the floor. A 5-year-old sibling was crawling alongside the baby, encouraging him to crawl. Suddenly the baby spit up some milk, and the older child cried out, "Ew, he threw up." Seconds later, he added, "Oh, look, he made a heart." Indeed, the sputum from the baby had spread on the floor in the shape of a heart. Later that same year, we took the grandchildren to the beach, a tradition we were just beginning. As I strolled along the water's edge with this same 5-year-old, searching for sand dollars, he casually posed a question. "Grandpa, do you remember the good old days when we used to look for shells all the time?" Since this was only the second or third time we had done this, I was amazed. I marveled that this child had a concept called the good old days. I remember at that age asking my mother how long it would be before I started school. When she said a year, I recall thinking that it was a very long time, because my sense of time defined one day as forever. And yet here was this child talking about the good old days. As adults, we often fail to see these moments as important, and we quickly forget them. Society in general, and some people in particular, lead us to believe that we are defined by what we do, and that the only thing important is how much money we make or the successes we achieve. This view leads us to focus more on filling every waking hour with accomplishing a goal rather than actually living the moment. The baby spitting up becomes another task in an already too busy day, and spending time with a grandchild is only a momentary distraction, soon forgotten. All too often we buy into this lie. Football Sundays and keeping the boss happy become more important than family and faith. Relaxing at the end of the day becomes more important than eating together or listening to how someone else's day went. As a result, family and faith are both set aside and suffer from the neglect. When the breakdown occurs between spouses or between parents and children, we wonder what went wrong. For many, the pain becomes too great to bear because they have forgotten how to care enough to make the little sacrifices, so those little sacrifices become unbearable. We forget where our first priority lies. We succeed in business and being popular with coworkers, but we fail in the things that really matter. It is not in pleasing others. It is in loving one another in a manner that is appropriate to the relationship. That means that God and family come first, then friends and co-workers. Jesus made it very clear. He said, "Unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." We must learn to see life clearly, to keep it simple without all the complications we add as we grow older and we seek our way over His way of love. May God bless you with the heart of a child to see simply and clearly what He desires for you, and may you always seek to love one another in the moment you have been given. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Rachel Dimas, volunteer at Hope House, for sharing with us her contributions to the vision of Hope House. If you would like more information, please call 361-852-2273 or visit them at cchope.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.